European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt. And a special in-studio guest this week, Thomas Michalakos, are alongside me for our Barclays Premier League preview show. We'll discuss everything you need to know about the upcoming season to come your way on Sportsnet and lay out our predictions, as well as yours, which you tweeted us, for this season to come. We'll also get some EFW fantasy footy chat with Neil Thurman, we hope, of rotoworld.com. He will join us, and we'll let you know who to start, who to sit for match day number one in the Barclays Premier League. Follow the show on Twitter at EFWSN590, or you can email us, dan.riccio@sportsnet590.ca. As I said off the top of the show, we have a newcomer this week. He's popping his cherry. Thomas Michalakos of Sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet Magazine. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you for the invite, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we are adding to the Merseyside Derby hatred, as we all know Derek is a big-time Everton fan, or not really big time. He doesn't really care anymore.
I can't believe we let this guy on the show.
So Thomas, being a avid Liverpool fan, is going to fill us in on all the Luis Suarez stuff.
Lots of stuff to fill you in on. Sure, you've heard it all before, but I'll try and give you something new.
Well, we haven't really got a Liverpool supporter aspect of that, so it's going to be interesting to hear what you say about that. But we're going to go through team by team. Gord Brunt's here as well. It's been a tough summer for him. Gord, sports just aren't going your way this weekend.
Not liking my football very much.
The Edinburgh Derby.
Yes.
What happened? Hibs lost?
Another loss to the
Hearts.
Should have been relegated Hearts team. They shouldn't even be in the SPL right now. Let's just start there. They cheated at the end of the year, got their way, and they were in the Premier League this year. And yes, they went on to beat Hibs 1-0 on Sunday.
I think
wasn't he singing about last week how it's great that Hearts is still in the Scottish Premier League and just be
horrible? But not when they beat us.
Oh, okay, I see. I got you.
It's all fine.
It's next to impossible for Hibs to get relegated now, because
Hearts are now negative 12 points back of 11th place in the SPL. So still quite a ways away, but
you know, I'm going to make a bold prediction this year for the SPL. Celtic's going to win.
Oh,
yep.
Second place.
Happen.
Who's second?
Who's Motherwell? Dundee United?
Aberdeen?
That's pretty much my SPL knowledge. Doesn't go past Celtic and Rangers all that far.
Talking about Hibs, I'd rather not until they finally score a goal. So let's just lay off that for the next few shows.
Okay. They still haven't scored a goal in five games this year. All right. Let's stop the time wasting here before I start throwing out some yellow cards. Okay, we'll start our Barclays Premier League preview show as we usually do on this show. We'll start with the table toppers, and that was Manchester United last year, and a lot of questions going into this season for Manchester United. Sir Alex, for the first time in 26 years, will not be on the bench at Old Trafford, and really, so far, David Moyes hasn't won over too many of the Manchester United faithful. First of all, with the lack of signings, and they're losing to Asian teams over in their Asia tour, drawing them. Nothing really to write home about Manchester United's preseason thus far. Now, they did just win the Community Shield.
Yeah, I was going to say, David Moyes finally won his first trophy.
Glorious victory.
It took Sir Alex, 4 years? And David Moyes, maybe 1 month?
Although Sir Alex never really... Did Sir Alex ever really count the Community Shield?
No.
Does anyone really count the Community Shield?
No, Thomas. Nobody counts it.
Wigan would have.
It's a glorified friendly. Yeah, Wigan would have. That is very true. But so my first question is, why the lack of signings? Are people not believing in David Moyes? Do players not want to go there just yet? They want to kind of play it out, see how it feels first, see David Moyes prove that he can be a manager at a top level before players want to start moving there? Or is it just David Moyes is trying to pick through and make the right signing as his first major signing rather than just anybody with a ton of money? Thomas, we'll start with you.
Well, I think the Sir Alex Ferguson factor is huge. I mean, the lure of playing for him supersedes everything else. And Moyes is a great manager, but I really think that not a lot of people, well, not to say people, but players are... You want to go to Manchester United. I mean, the titles, the this, the that, everything's there. It's all good. But Ferguson brought in players, and it's amazing to see that how many players have turned down going to United. I mean,
yeah.
Thiago Alcantara was huge. He 20 million to go to Bayern instead of Manchester United. I mean, that says it all right there,
yeah.
I think.
That was the first sign, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that too. Like, how much was the lure of Sir Alex Ferguson? Was it greater than what, you know, most people expected? Now, how much did it diminish Manchester United's appeal? But as well, also, I think they just went after the wrong guys. Like, going after Cesc Fabregas is not probably the brightest move.
Yeah.
He's home.
Yeah,
he pined. I mean, Gord knows better than anybody how long that dance took. And to think that you're going to come along and just offer midfield play in Manchester United, that's going to just also not only betray, you know, his ties to Arsenal, but he's leaving his home and he's going to, you know, England again, and he's leaving the sunny shores of Barcelona. And, you know, yeah. I hear you need like a special type of umbrella, like that covers your face completely in Manchester. But
it doesn't rain in England, does it?
Some parts. I hear Southampton's nice.
Yes.
I just feel like they may have been aiming too high with Cesc Fabregas, putting all their eggs in that basket when, like we said, it wasn't that likely he was going to leave Barcelona, his boyhood team, and come back to England for a team that wasn't Arsenal. No, it just wouldn't have looked right. Arsene Wenger's actually said that Cesc has told him he wants to play one more year in Barcelona before deciding what he wants to do afterwards, because he wasn't really getting the playing time last season. So maybe he's been told something behind doors that he's going to get more of a shot at the first team. But also, Manchester United didn't really lose anyone this year, so they still got a strong club. There isn't really that much of a desperation to go out and get like the biggest names, because they know they can do it with this club.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, but there's definitely holes in the defense with Rio Ferdinand and Nemanja Vidic, another year older. I think last year was the first time they allowed over 40 goals since maybe the early 2000s. I know in one of those years they allowed 45, and that was last year was the most goals they allowed since then. So they need help in defense. We talked about it all throughout last year. They need help in midfield as well. And if they lose Wayne Rooney, I'd say they probably need help in attack. I don't know if they can mount a title challenge unless they bring in new signings.
Put it this way, everyone around them has strengthened.
Big time.
Big time,
and they haven't.
Yeah.
Except Arsenal. Wait, except Arsenal.
That's true. Yep. I mean,
didn't they? I thought they added Sanogo.
Yeah, Sanogo.
Come on.
For free.
Okay, back to United.
Still better than nobody. I'm trying to help
that
you
is,
out here.
That is. He does make a point. But seriously, everyone's strengthened. They haven't strengthened. It's a problem. How are you going to defend the title with this team? I mean, look at Manchester City, who they've brought in already.
It's
Chelsea,
big.
The Mourinho 2.0 factor. I mean, it's huge. And the fact that it's August and still, who's the guy that they brought in?
From Sanogo.
From Atletico Peñarol.
Yeah.
Guillermo Varela.
Yeah, a fringe player at best. Yeah.
Fringe player.
He's a 20-year-old. He's more of a future signing. And you know, we kind of forget Wilfried Zaha a little bit because they announced that signing in January.
But how many?
But even him,
how many more wingers does United need?
If they get rid of some,
Valencia and Ashley Young and Nani weren't really up to snuff last year. So hopefully Zaha can help them out in that sense. And then there's the Wayne Rooney question: is he going to stay? Will he go? By all accounts, it looks like Chelsea want him more than anything, but I don't know if United is willing to let him go to Chelsea.
I know it's the Community Shield, but they were playing Danny Welbeck in the position that they would normally play Wayne Rooney, which he was helping the striker, Robin Van Persie. He did quite well in that, so maybe that is a sign of the tactics that David Moyes actually wants to use this year, is maybe have Danny Welbeck in that sort of a supplying role for the striker. I'm not sure. It was a Community Shield, like I said, but
speaking of David Moyes' tactics, anybody notice the emergence of Patrice Evra at left back in that game?
Yeah.
Kind of similar to some other left back that he used to have.
Leighton Baines.
Yeah, with the beautiful service in there to RVP with the rare header goal.
Although I'd say Evra's probably better at dribbling. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So, that's another question for United going into the season. And again, we will get to our previews later, or our predictions later on in the show. On to their crosstown rivals, Manchester City, who suffered a very, very disappointing trophyless season in 2011-12, and that resulted in the head of Roberto Mancini. He gets sacked just 1 year after winning the title, and now they go on with Manuel Pellegrini at the helm, and all their new signings, close to £100 million spent. They definitely look like the favorites going into this year. And it's a lot different. We talked about it last year, being the defending champs. Yep. It's not easy to defend. It's always easier being the challenger, right? So this year, they are the challengers. They know what it's like to win. And now they know what it's like to lose together as a team. And you add all these big signings, Stevan Jovetic, you add Jesus Navas, Alvaro Negredo, Fernandinho. This is a strong, strong team, even on the worst of days. So they look like the favorites to me. It's going to come down to Pellegrini, I think. And what do you think Pellegrini will bring to this squad, Thomas?
Well, he's a great manager. I mean, he was fired from Real Madrid, if I'm correct.
Yes.
After winning the title. Am I correct?
No, he didn't
win
the title.
He didn't win the title. No. Sorry. I really think he's a great manager. And the signings that they brought in are huge. I'm very high up on Fernandinho. He kind of reminds me of, remember when Chelsea got Michael Essien for $30 million in 2004? Yeah. Everyone was like, oh my God.
What are they doing?
What are they doing? $30 million for a midfielder or whatever. But look how influential he was to their title winning side. Now, I'm not gonna stick my neck out and say he's going to be that kind of signing, but I will say that he's worth the money. Seeing him play for a Shakhtar, he's worth that money.
Yeah, I think he's an excellent complement to Touré. Both of them can now launch forward. We've seen how effective Touré
and it's
was.
It's that kind of sandpaper a little bit that they lost in the midfield. Gareth Barry, for all the things, he's an okay player. He's not,
but he doesn't
bad
have the skill.
By any means.
He doesn't have the skill that Fernandinho does. Yeah, and he's a really industrious player as well, as we've seen for Shakhtar and the Champions League. I like Jesus Navas. He'll solve the width issues that they have. He's a very pure kind of wing type player that'll just hug the line, and he's incredibly fast too. Negredo is going to be a pretty good guy to bring in after, I think, Dzeko. He's a big, strong guy like that as well. And I think, I really don't want to hear anybody say, well, it's going to take these guys time to adapt and, Yeah, tell that to Michu, tell that to Santi Cazorla, tell that to Juan Mata. The list just goes on and on. Yeah. These Spanish players are going to seamlessly glide into the Premier League. And
well, Jesus Navas might get homesick. Until last year, I don't think he ever left Sevilla.
He's over that now, apparently. He's over his homesickness. Yeah. He's gone with Spain, and so he's over his homesickness, apparently.
That is true, but I think he's got a lot of, teammates to help him through this transition. So
he's going to have to bring Mama on the plane rides with him, as they go
through
Champions
League.
I'm sure
Manchester City can, afford to create a little villa, bring in some truck in some sand
moving
or something. Have constant buckets of sangria brought in, whatever it takes, paella, whatever, man. Just keep the guy happy.
That's true. Gord, you haven't piped in a word yet about this Manchester City squad. Do they scare you as an Arsenal fan?
Very much so. They're the one team that's brought in the most impact players in the EPL, and they should excel in the EPL, no doubt. I'm with Derek. I don't think the whole slow start, they need time to adjust. No, he gave great examples of players who adjusted quite well early on last season. So I don't think these players are really much different. The one I'm most intrigued to see is Stevan Jovetic. He was an Arsenal target for the longest time.
Yeah.
Who wasn't?
Exactly. I'm sure all the other three were as well. But yeah, I'd love to see what Stevan Jovetic could do, see if he can really make a difference in the attacking for Manchester City. There really wasn't much goal scoring from them over the weekend against Arsenal in their 3-1 loss. Let me throw that in there.
Preseason.
Yeah.
Just highlight that fact.
But when you compare the signings they've brought in compared to the guys that they've let go, like the Colo Touré's, the Wayne Bridges, who wasn't really playing last year, and the Carlos Tevez, I think they've replaced any holes that they had quite well with these signings in the offseason.
I don't know. They didn't replace Maicon.
God forbid. That's going to cost
them. Low blow.
It did cost them to let him go, actually. Remember, they paid £2 million
just
get rid of him. Okay. So, yeah, they're one of the strongest teams. And it's Chelsea with Mourinho coming in. We'll move on to Chelsea now. Jose Mourinho, we know what he did in his first year at Chelsea. And they haven't really bought big name players kind of like Manchester City did, but they bought really smart guys, Andre Schürrle, young players that are going to grow into their roles and maybe help already what Chelsea has been building, what Rafa even started building last year. And you can see there's a lot of attacking talent on this team. Romelu Lukaku, we saw what he could do with West Brom. And if he gets the time with Chelsea this season. There's no telling what he can do with Chelsea. So it's going to be interesting to see. What do you think Jose Mourinho brings this time around to Chelsea, and can he even come close to matching what he did the first time around, Gord?
I don't think he should even try to come close to matching it, doing the exact same thing. He shouldn't try to. He should really just come in there with a fresh slate. You know, forget the history he has with Chelsea. Just come in there with a new mindset and really try to take control of this team and form them and mold them into the championship squad that he did once before. You really can't be that loyal to, let's say, the John Terrys, obviously. Yes, they were around when you were there the first time around, but I just feel like he's really just got to assess what he has right now and just play to their abilities. I think it would be a mistake to start the season off with Fernando Torres as your main striker. I think you have to give it to Romelu Lukaku.
I agree.
Give him that shot to show that last year wasn't really a fluke with West Brom, that he is a legitimate striker.
I agree with the two of you guys as well. It does look like it should be Lukaku's time, but with this gentler side of Mourinho probably comes more of a
tendency
to acquiesce to Big Boss, as he would say.
You think he's going to do what Benitez did and just keep starting Torres?
Well, he there has been quotes. There is quotes that he is, you know, going to attempt to get the best out of Benitez by, you know, building the squad around him. But I'm pretty sure there'll be a quick hook. If he doesn't get what he wants out of him by 60 minutes, like, there'll be a... Mourinho's not afraid to make three switches at once. We've all seen this before, right? So
and even in the first half.
Yeah, exactly. If he doesn't like what he sees, you know, I'm pretty sure he'll, you know, eventually go to the Big Boss and say, I tried, now we do it my way, or something like that. But, yeah, Lukaku... You can't deny what he did in his 20 starts last year. It was impressive. He and Steve Clark's also a disciple of Mourinho too. So, you know, Lukaku has some insight into what Mourinho's ideas are already. So it just makes sense. And I'd be interested to see how he brings in Andre Schürrle, because Schürrle looks to me like kind of a guy that's going to push Mata a little bit. You know, I'm not really sure if he's much bigger, but you know, Mata's not that big of a dude himself. Right. So,
well, you already have Oscar and you
have... Yeah, no, but Schürrle's a guy who plays directly behind the striker, kind of in that, you know, the way
he's
Matt...
He's played on the left as well.
Yeah, but...
And he's a different kind of player to Matt, obviously, right? So it's good to have that combo.
It is, but, you know, there was all those rumors of Matt being sold to at the beginning of the year, and sometimes where there's, you know, a little bit of fire, there's truth. But, you know, I wouldn't sell him. He's one of the best players in the Premier League.
Is anyone getting that this Mario van Ginkel? Not a lot of people know about him, but Vitesse Arnhem is known to produce players. I mean, Alexander Butner came from there. And not to say that he's the finished product already, but I have this sense where looking at him play very, very minimally, I haven't seen a lot of him. But he kind of has a feeling like a Van Nistelrooy type of player. Like, he's tall, he's skinny in the box. You know what I mean? Like, he has that, I don't know, maybe it's because he's Dutch and he has Van in his name. I don't know. But,
it's got to be good.
It just feels like one of those signings where there's not a lot of hype to it.
Yeah.
But it's gonna produce.
Yeah, I also read that Van Ginkel wouldn't have made this signing as well if he didn't get some assurances from Mourinho himself to, like, actually get some time. So it's going to be tough for him to, you know, break in, but... Apparently he's going to get chances, but with the Premier League, there's so many competitions.
Yeah,
right?
and
he'll probably be seeing a lot of time in the League Cup.
With Chelsea, I mean, look at all these players that have come back off of loan. Not only Romelu Lukaku, you also have Kevin De Bruyne coming back off of
loan.
And how good has he played in preseason thus far?
One of their best players.
Yeah, he's looked fantastic. So Chelsea, it's really shown how well they've spent their enormous amount of dollars, or Roman Abramovich's dollars, on young players, and are building them into integrating them into this squad as we are seeing now. And I think that's all starting to come to fruition. So maybe they're not spending the big dollars like Manchester City are right now, but there's a lot of players that have come in.
Yeah, we haven't even, you know, Victor Moses is another great player.
Exactly.
Good, really good young player that we'd barely mentioned. That's, you know, still probably a fringe player for them.
All of a sudden, a squad that wasn't so deep last year is looking pretty deep right now. And that's big news for Chelsea fans. We'll round out the top four and end this segment with Arsenal. And what's there to talk about? They don't have any new signings.
Gord, take it from here.
Yeah, they had Yaya Sanogo.
Oh, okay.
In June, I think.
How about a quick little look at our favorite website?
Oh, I was just on there 2 minutes ago, and it's still no.
It's still no.
They have Arsenal spent any money? Anymoneyyet.com. Still a big fat no, and now 5 days left before the start of the season. Arsenal is a young squad, so we can't totally write them off. There's another year of progression for guys like Jack Wilshere, Olivier Giroud.
I'm sorry, I'm having some deja vu. Like, I've heard the same story like 4 years in a row.
I'm just trying to come up with reasons.
There is one difference. They have not lost their best player this summer.
Point taken.
Right?
Point
taken. So over the last 3 years, you're losing your best player year after year after year.
Or two sometimes.
Exactly. Nasri and Fabregas.
So, I think that's check-in mate for Gord.
I really do think Arsene Wenger likes his squad, and he likes the fact that he's keeping his squad together for a second consecutive season. So they're growing together. I know the big talk was they were going to spend that huge war chest they had, that £70 million, but in the end, I don't think he wanted to overspend if he didn't have to, because he already liked what he had. So
shouldn't that be like $80 million now with the sale of Gervinho?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Well, either way, I mean, it's Ivan Gazidis' fault, really, because he was the one who came out and said, we have this big pile of money. It wasn't Arsene Wenger that came out and said we had all this money.
And exactly, and that's what's going to happen. You're flaunting that in the press, letting all the other teams know that, oh, you only want to pay $23 million for Higuain. We want 31.
Yeah.
and I think we saw all of the agents take advantage of it by linking Arsenal with almost every player just to get them more exposure.
But as an Arsenal fan, you know that this is how it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's that last week of the season. I'm going to say you guys.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Go ahead.
You guys make signings like Park Chu Young, Leo Miyachi, and I'm going to even say Andre Santos, who my buddy, who I was telling you earlier, who's a Gunners fan, said that he looks like a player that won a contest to play football.
Yeah, just and regular it, Joe Schmo off the street.
Just off the street. If you see him training, if you see him anything, he didn't know what he was doing. So,
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What was that movie called?
I can't remember the name of it. I'll look it up.
Off my head. But
I'll look it up. Keep talking.
I mean, you're used to it by now. So, I mean, it sucks that they dangled that carrot in front of your face and saying, oh, we have all this money. We're going to spend all this money. And then,
I mean, the transfer rumors, that's always been the same for the last 3 years. But the fact that ownership and Wenger were talking about it, this year was supposed to be different. It was supposed to be different, but it was just same old, like you say. And I don't know if it's brainwashed, but they're starting to convince me that, hey, we might actually still have an okay squad. Even if we don't make a big transfer, we might be okay.
I hear it in your voice. I mean, before you were saying that, you were saying like, but then, we need to bring players in, right?
Yeah, so. But then you see what the Tottenhams are doing, what the Chelsea's, what Man City's doing with these four players. I don't think they are really going to have that great of a chance to finish top four, really. No chance to win the league. So
yeah, it definitely looks that way. And the movie is Invincible.
Oh, I was going to say, I have Invincible in my head, but I didn't want to interrupt their conversation.
So there's also the question, and it's interesting to me that they're allowing, well, maybe not allowing, but Arsene Wenger's going into the final year of his deal kind of as a lame duck, as we like to call it here in North America, a lame duck year of his deal, 1 year left. There's a lot of talk about PSG wanting him to manage at PSG, and they only signed Laurent Blanc for 1 year. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of questions surrounding Arsene Wenger, and I mean, if I was Arsene Wenger, even still, if this was going to be my last year after 16, 17 years, spend all I got.
Go out like
go
a drunk
for
sailor.
It. Exactly. Bang. Go out like a drunk sailor. But by all accounts.
And speaking of drinking, I was just thinking, how many times are we going to hear the words PSG, renew your contract? Why was there no reinforcements brought in at every press conference? That'd be a great drinking game, too.
And
Suarez, too.
Oh, and
we'll get to Suarez in the next segment. We'll also get to Neil Thurman of rotoworld.com with a week one preview for EFW Fantasy Footy. We're up to 54 participants now. I think Thomas has said he's willing to join. So there's number 55. There's no limit. So if we can get to 100, hell, it'll be a hell of a fun league. And maybe they'll even allow us to give something away if we get up to 100. So keep joining at EFWSN590 is where you can find all the info on how to join the EFW Fantasy Footy League. More to come. Barclays Premier League preview. We'll even touch on La Liga in the next segment on European Football Weekly.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
And we are back here on European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt, and Thomas Michalakos of Sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet the magazine is joining us here in the studio. Thomas, your Twitter account, at UnfitRef, is that what it is?
That's it, man.
You can find him on Twitter and tweeting about all things footy. A lot of Liverpool stuff, as we mentioned in the first segment. He's a big Liverpool fan, big Kop fan. So we'll get to his thoughts on the whole Luis Suarez transfer saga in just a little bit. Follow the show on Twitter at EFWSN590 or email it dan.riccio@sportsnet590.ca. We'll get to all of your predictions for the upcoming Barclays Premier League season. A lot of you had one team in particular as your winner for this season. So we'll get to those in the next segment, as well as our predictions in the next segment. We move on from the top four from last year now to the Tottenham Hotspurs. And whether or not they can keep Gareth Bale is a big part of their season. Obviously, it's been all the talk, along with, you know, Wayne Rooney and whether or not he'll stay at United, and Luis Suarez, whether or not he will stay at Liverpool. But for Tottenham, the question now is, how big of a drop-off is it if they lose Gareth Bale with all their new signings, Roberto Soldado, Paulinho, and Nasser Chadli? They've done very, very well for themselves in the current transfer window. And
Kupe as well, it looks like that's a
good deal. Kapuay is very, very close, if not done already. And
the latest rumor, Dan?
Eric Lamella?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eric Lamella also. But I think if Eric Lamella were to come in, it would mean that he's Gareth Bale is definitely
great
on the
player,
way.
Though.
Oh, Eric Lamella, we saw him, I saw him with Toronto against Toronto FC here midweek, and he is just fantastic to watch. Incredible on the ball pace, and it just seemed like he created chances every time he touched the ball, and there's few players that you see can do that. Philip Coutinho is one of the ones that I noticed last year as soon as he made the move to Liverpool from Inter Milan. It seemed like every time he touched the ball, something was happening, and that's a big thing to see out of a player. Gareth Bale is one of those players. And Tottenham, as I said, I think they've done enough that they can still at least challenge for top four, maybe even get it, as long as maybe Arsenal doesn't make too many big moves in the last couple of weeks. Thomas, your thoughts on Tottenham and how well they can do, let's say, without Gareth Bale?
Well, I mean, you take a Gareth Bale out of any team,
you're going to struggle.
Yeah, you're going to struggle. You're going to hurt. It's going to be a learning curve. Although the signings that they have made can score goals. And that's what Gareth Bale did last year, was score goals.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be fine. I mean, you get $100 million, reportedly. You can buy three, four, five. It's sky's the limit. You cannot say no to $100 million, wherever it's from.
Yeah.
I don't care if, now did you guys hear the new rumor about Manchester United?
Yeah, getting in as well.
Getting in on that. First of all, I can't see them spending $100 million.
Not even if they sell Rooney for 30.
No. But I mean, anywhere, even if it's to a direct rival, $100 million, what are you going to do with that? You can do anything with that.
Yeah, you can buy a ton of players. And I've talked about it a lot with, I always harken back to when Juventus sold Zinedine Zidane for to Real Madrid, and they bought Pavel Nedved, Lilian Thuram, and Gianluigi Buffon. And what happened? They won the next two Italian titles on the backs of those three. It helps.
It does, but Juve were already champions.
They were champions before they sold Zinedine Zidane.
Where they were top.
They were a top club. Team.
Right. I mean, Tottenham's not there yet. So wouldn't it be, you know, a little more historical if, you know, Bale stayed that one extra year? And with these signings, they've got as good a chance as anybody to win the title. They have to be considered favorites, at least on par with Chelsea and Manchester City, at least.
I don't know if I'd go that far. They're definitely one of the most intriguing teams. And what
okay,
I can say...
Name me one team that played, you know, that cluster of top five or six teams better than Tottenham did.
Entertaining? Or
just,
do you mean
like
just
points-wise and just the way the games were worked
games.
Out? You know, Tottenham looked like they were the better team almost against everybody. I think there was maybe one game where they got bushwhacked, but you know, against Manchester United, you know, they had to deploy three guys just to maintain Bale, and that was without Sandro, who, you know, got a big injury at the beginning of the year, who's probably one of the best defensive midfielders in the world. not just alone the Premier League. And Soldado now, you know, that's a big upgrade over, you know.
That was their biggest need last year, was an out-and-out striker, because Adebayor and Jermaine Defoe were both inconsistent at best. Gord, I want to get an unbiased opinion from you, but and as we all know with the North London Derby.
They were 1 point out of the Champions League spot, right? And I know people can't say that, you know, the point, you can't really judge the point difference if they didn't have Gareth Bale, but it's the things that affect other teams off the ball is the constant attention they have to pay to this guy, because he's the best in the world, one of the best in the world. And he scored 21 goals last year, but he probably helped set up a whole lot more just by attracting the defenders and leaving an opening for one of the other Tottenham players to get open and score a goal. So I think it's the other things outside of the assists and the goals that would really hurt Tottenham if they did lose him. And if they are able to keep him, like I said before, I think a top four finish is quite realistic. If not, I still don't think they're going to drop off that far, but maybe same position as last year, a fifth place finish. But
yeah, and you look at their midfield as it stands right now. You have Moussa Dembele, you have Sandro, you have Lewis Holtby, you have Gareth Bale, you have Paulinho, you have Nasser Chadli, you have Aaron Lennon, you have Tom Huddleston. Like, they have a pretty good midfield, and it's deep this year, which is something they didn't have last year. And if they add a guy like Etienne Capoue from Toulouse in France, a player that I admire very much, and what he can do, he's great at playing balls through the midfield, is really great deep-lying playmaker. They have a lot of options. Andreas Boas has a lot of options if they can make that move. And they have a lot of depth. Again, something they didn't have last year to combat on all ends of the game.
Another small but probably big kind of return in the big picture is Danny Rose, who can play, you know, a pretty decent left back, as he did for, I think, Sunderland last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, that allows Vertonghen to, you know, slide into center back, which is an upgrade on, you know, a partnership with Dawson. I mean, you know, Ledley King is probably, I think, did he retire, or he should have?
He's an ambassador, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, there's obviously the need there. So they've just improved by that alone. So they're a very dangerous squad. They've got goals everywhere. Like Sigurdsson's another guy we didn't mention who can score playing in a, you know, a little pocket role, number 10.
Gylfi,
striker.
Maybe my favorite name in all the EPL. Gylfi. I don't know why. It's just, it's fun to say. Gylfi.
But again, to the point of, if you take the 100 million, yes, it's hard to say no to that, but who can you bring in that would guarantee the chance that looks like that they have this year to actually really challenge for the Premiership?
Ricky Van Wolfswinkel? No?
No, that's a Norwich player.
I've always liked Dembaba. I just like that name. Just rolls right off the tongue.
Oh, we're talking about best names. Oh, okay.
Best names, Dan. Get with it.
Gylfi. I like it. Not so much the last name, Sigurdsson, but Gylfi is fun to say.
What if you mix Gylfi Van Wolfswinkel? Is that better?
I think that wins out.
Yeah, that might be a hybrid player. I like that.
You've given up on Zoltan Gerrer already?
Ah, Zoltan. You know, when I first watched Hey Dude, Where's My Car? Dude, Where's My Car? Whatever the hell that movie was.
Yeah, Dude,
it might have been funnier back then, but I've grown up a little bit.
Definitely was funnier back then.
Mind you, let's stress the little bit. I'm still very, rather immature. We'll move to Everton and the first half of the Merseyside Derby. Roberto Martinez, he's never finished higher than 15th in the EPL. We know he's been with Wigan for a very long time. But he's definitely got some questions to answer in terms of what he can do as a manager. But one thing he did do that David Moyes never did as manager of Everton is win the FA Cup. And there's a lot to like about Roberto Martinez, but he also will have his questions heading into the season. Derek, let's start with you because you're the big Everton fan, a big Toffee man.
Aye. Oh, well, just want
I'm waiting
roll.
On
I
you.
I thought you were going to ask me a question.
Yeah, any day now.
All right, then. He does have a lot of questions to answer for. The never finishing higher than 15th is a big kind of question mark. But, again, it's the team that you kind of have. And could anybody else have done better with Wigan and the resources? You know, he's brought in some pretty interesting players to Wigan. You know, Kone is a very good player. The one game he played against Everton last year was pretty impressive. He's had some spurts of, you know, really impressive performances. And I think he's a good guy to bring in to, you know, kind of give Jelavic that kick in the rear end that he kind of looked like he needed last year after that incredible start. You know, Morales is an incredible player. He looks like he's...
Great player.
He looks like he's just about to reach that superstar potential. And Leighton Baines, Coleman's another... The team is very well built, I think. And his question is to, you know, now add diversity to the pragmatic style that I thought, you know, Moyes brought. And, you know, he does love to tinker, so hopefully he can get something out of some of these guys that, you know, maybe that Moyes didn't do. And yeah, he needs to bring a tie. He needs to bring something because we need some silverware. We haven't won anything for a long time. And the fact that Moyes lost to Birmingham.
Yeah.
It just, you know, still.
The anger in his face there, folks. I wish this was a video podcast.
And, you know, Roberto beat Manchester City with Wigan. Must I say more?
Yes. And I think he may
Birmingham.
He may have won this Everton job in that FA Cup semifinal with the absolute destroying of David Moyes' Everton, which, I mean, it was...
Yeah, that was like...
It was a shock.
Didn't I call it like the greatest 3 minutes of football of all time?
That's right. That's right.
It was crazy.
3 minutes.
Maybe the greatest for you. Thomas, your thoughts on Everton?
Look, being a Liverpool fan, I have no problem with my Everton brethren over here. But I have to say, I've always liked the way Everton conduct their business. They've never had a striker. So having Kone, like you said, pushing Jelavic, who is playing amazing in preseason already, right? So, I mean, that's good news. And we were talking about it earlier. You say his name better than I do. Gerard Delafoe?
Delafeu. Or Delafeu, yeah.
Sorry, my pronunciation is a little bit wrong. That's why I have you here. That's great. yeah, I really think he's a stud. I mean, it's more physical.
It is, yeah.
League. Over the Segunda, but I really think he's a gem, and he's gonna Barca's gonna really take in whatever he's gonna do in the Premier League. All the experience is gonna be great. So I really think Everton with Martinez is gonna be okay. But you're not gonna be looking for any silverware this year, I'm sorry to say.
Gord.
I personally think Everton's gonna be relieved to start the season against Norwich, because look at the teams they just had to play: Valencia, Real Madrid, and Juventus. This is going to be a walk in the park to start the year.
I don't want to be reminded what happened in that Juventus game, okay? Derek has reminded me enough times. Everton won on penalties. I know. Thank you very much. Moving on.
Pirlo missed a penalty.
Can they do as well as they did last season? Last season,
it's going to be tough.
They finished sixth. That was a big step for them. It was a good season for them. Can they do that again?
I say top half for sure, but nowhere near sixth. I would say like ninth. Eight, something like that.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going to finish seventh, right ahead of Liverpool in eighth.
We have to make a bet on that one.
Gord, will they finish higher than Arsenal?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. I do like what they've got here, what they've got assembled. Kone, if they can hold on to Fellaini, yes, I think top seven. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to be really blasphemous right now. I would be okay with Fellaini going for his, you know, 20-something million pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
Even Leighton Baines?
No, Leighton Baines we must keep.
We must.
Fellaini, yeah, why not?
I know he's, you know, really emerged last year, but he prefers to play the deep-lying midfield role. And, you know, we've already got Leon Osman and Darren Gibson. I don't know how much better Fellaini really is at that position. He really did blossom at that kind of reserved striker role where he could just come in and wreak havoc and be the target man for, you know, the guys to bomb the ball into,
so he could elbow Ryan Shawcross.
But you know, he's a
stuff.
Walking yellow card. Yeah. He's gonna get suspended at some point of the season, and I think Kone is a good replacement for him there. So I'd bring in the money and try to go after somebody else.
Over to the other side of the Merseyside, Luis Suarez and Liverpool. Wow, what a saga this has been! It won't stop. It's like the never-ending Seinfeld episode or something. Like there's a new weird twist in the story. Oh, but I have this in my contract and they're not honoring that. Well, no, it's not in your contract, or else they would have had to honor it. They're not just going to not honor a clause in your contract. If it's there, they have to. So Luis Suarez should just shut up and let his agent do all the work. But
he can't. He has to apologize, which he will not do.
Yeah, that was the new one. He refuses to apologize.
He refuses to apologize, and Brendan Rodgers says he will not play until he apologizes. And fortunately, that doesn't have to happen until, what?
Week 7?
Yeah, October maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
he's got 8 games left or 6 games left of his suspension for biting Branislav Ivanovic. Thomas, you're a Liverpool fan. We've talked about it a lot already. Luis Suarez, I can't understand why Liverpool even want to keep this guy. I know all the great things that he brings to the table as a player, but he doesn't want to be there. I mean, how can you keep a guy that doesn't want to be there? You can get $40 million for him, cut your losses, add to the rest of your team. You've already done wonders adding smartly for the first time in years, it seems. Liverpool's added smartly to their squad. Now they're just, they're blowing my mind with this whole Suarez saga. I don't understand it. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's $55 million. Let's put it, put it there. Not $40 million and £1. It's $55 million.
Well, the highest bid has been $41 million.
Yeah. But honestly, I like what they're doing. I don't know. Is it maybe because I'm a rebel inside? I have no idea. I like it. No, you're not playing. You're training with the reserves. It has this old school vibe to me. And yeah, okay, you're not going to have him for 6 games. And he's going to pout and he's going to do his thing with Guardiola's brother, his agent, feeding out things to the media and everything. But I like the stance. I like how John Henry came in and said, I'm backing my manager. I don't care what team's coming in. He ain't going anywhere. Now, will they live up to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what happens if it's, you know, 4 losses, 2 wins, 6 games in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How strong is that reserve now?
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? We don't know. But I like what they're doing right now. But I really think Suarez is going to move. I don't think any team is going to just keep him there. It's training with the youth teams.
I'm going to read your mind, Thomas. I'm guessing that you want Tottenham to hold on to Liverpool and Real Madrid to get desperate enough to throw $60 million at Liverpool for Suarez.
Oh, that'd be great. Because I don't want him to go to Arsenal.
You've just recreated my worst nightmare, Derek.
Thank you.
That is
my nightmare.
The scenario that plays in my head night after night.
Yeah, Gord wakes up in a cold sweat every night.
Tottenham keeps the best player in the English Premier League, and then we miss out on Suarez. Oh,
it's
awful.
We'd find you and Piers Morgan in a little cave huddled and holding each other for comfort, right?
I love his tweets, by the way.
Oh, he's awesome.
It's classic. Yeah.
I just,
I'm so excited I could bite my own arm off.
I just can't see why. I don't think starting to build your team around Philip Coutinho and Daniel Sturridge is a bad thing. Like,
no,
move
it's not
on with
all.
Those guys.
It's not at all. And like you said, no one wants a player that doesn't want to be there because his head's turned. He's not giving 100%. He's distracted. He's a detriment to the team. So I totally agree with that.
And he bites people.
And he bites people twice.
Exactly. Like,
twice. He bit someone with a PSV player when he was with Ajax.
How much,
horrible.
You know, no one's going to say, well, what's the worst he can do on the pitch?
Seen it.
Like, yeah.
Does this guy really have to, like, go after somebody's neck and, like, cause blood to spurt or something?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, is for all his craziness, when the ball is at his feet on the pitch, you know something's going to happen. Something. It's just especially down the byline.
And
it's amazing.
That's why they're fighting so hard to keep him. If they don't have Suarez, then Daniel Sturridge is a very nice striker, but he's no Luis Suarez.
I like
what Sturridge can bring. If he's healthy to start the year, I think they should be fine.
Yeah,
in those,
good point.
If they should be fine in those first 6 games, but you can't lose Suarez and expect to compete for Champions League spot. It's just not realistic.
Yeah, and how much more pressure is that going to put on a guy like Coutinho, who, you know, was impressive but kind of failed to impress at Inter and, you know, really surprised a lot of people with his play.
Never got a chance at Inter.
Yeah, well, there's
sure,
a reason
he
why he never really got a chance, though.
He never got a chance at Inter.
All right, well.
And you have with Sturridge, never really got a chance at Chelsea, so he's starving for some game action. And if he, like I said, if he starts the season healthy, I think you can expect big things from him.
I just don't want to see that dance, man.
It's
brutal.
But I mean, as I said, Liverpool, they've done some good things in the transfer market thus
Still
far.
No center back though.
And
Agger too. Now they're talking about Barcelona coming in for him. I hope that doesn't happen because I've always liked Daniel Agger. And
Skrtel wasn't very good last year.
No, and Skrtel wasn't very good last year either. And I do not want to see Kolo Touré play games.
No.
I don't mind him being in the, you know, in the dressing room, given, you know, experience and all that. Keep him off the field.
I thought it was an excellent signing.
He's more of like a coaching figure.
Exactly.
You know? He's better for the younger defenders, but don't put him out there.
No. Plays 5 games. I'm good.
At that age, he belongs in the MLS.
And they've even gotten better in goal with Simon Mignolet.
Ooh. Right? I don't know.
No?
I'm a
Pepe
big
fan.
I'm a goalkeeper, so I've always loved Pepe Reina. I've had a soft spot for him ever since he came to the team. I know two seasons, he's been horrible. You know, he hasn't been as right, but
yeah, he had some blunders last year.
Yeah, so hopefully Simon Mignolet does well, but.
But the one with Aguero was just, I watch it.
But that was such a great show. Like, they even pulled the angle off. Yeah. That's insane.
But at the same time, though, Brendan Rodgers wants a guy who can play a bit of sweeper at that position, right? So can Mignolet do that? Did he do
it? He doesn't have the feet like Reina does.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So a lot of questions to be answered for Liverpool as well before the end of the season hits. We'll get to the mid-table sides and. Who might be relegated and some of the teams outside of that. Who's going to be our surprise team? Our predictions for the upcoming season are also upcoming. But first, we will get to Neil Thurman of rotoworld.com. He is coming up next with an EFW fantasy footy preview for week number one. Remember, check out at EFWSN590 on Twitter to find out how to join up for EFW fantasy footy. That's all coming up next on European Football Weekly.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
Okay, we're back here on European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandale, Gord Brunt, and special in-studio guest Thomas Michalakos is here as well. And now joining us on the phone is Neil Thurman. He's been on the show before, and he's here again to discuss a little bit of fantasy footy with us. And as the season gets going here, a big week one coming up. And as I understand it, Neil, Chelsea and Aston Villa are on a two-match game week.
Yes, they are. Both Yahoo and the Premier League's formats, both teams are will have players counting for two games this week, and with the international friendlies in midweek thrown in, it's going to be a little bit of selection hell for everybody.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that? I'm the kind of guy, I load up on all of two game week players. Are you the same way?
I am. I'm a big fan of portfolio theory, and I want more chances at goals and points and everything else. At the same time, fortunately, there's been, you know, some good things. Mata is not going out with Spain, so he won't have to worry about getting rested because of international travels or an injury or anything like that. So he looks like a no-brainer. I think Benteke for Villa is probably the pick there. The big question in my mind is really about Chelsea's defense. I'm not sure I'm sold enough yet to be investing a lot of my budget in those guys.
Neil,
I'm much more looking at the attack.
Sorry about that. Neil, Gord here. Just wondering, my first year playing fantasy football here, fantasy soccer, And just with the bench positions, I just don't see the point of really putting a lot of value there. Like right now, the way I have my team set up, the highest paid player is £2.4 million. What's your strategy using the bench there? Do you actually have people there that actually have a chance at making an impact on your team?
So I am still, this is new to the Yahoo game specifically, and because they allow unlimited transfers, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I want to play the bench. Really the way I'm thinking about it though is that there's some players who are probably going to have tough matchups in week one who I want to make sure I'm getting in on at the low price. So guys like Wilfred Bony and Jonjo Shevley, who may be starting for Swansea, both of whom are at very reasonable prices, are guys I'd consider for my bench. Jonjo has the benefit of also being really cheap, so he's helping you in both ways. That's really how I look at it, because I'm not starting. I don't think I'd want to start either of those guys against Manchester United in week one.
Hi, Neil. Derek here. Guys like I kind of shot myself in the foot last year when I told everybody about Michu and why they're so cheap. But like again, guys like Soldado, Jovetic, guys that have experience in other leagues and have pretty good records coming to the Premier League and just being undervalued. How important is it to jump on guys like that at the beginning of the year?
It is I think that's a must do. I carried Cazorla and Michu all year last year, and every year there's a couple guys like that, but it's tough to figure. I mean, you look now and you've got Soldado, you've got Negredo, you've got Jovetic. There's a wealth of players. You've got Navas in midfield. You've got Boney. There's some great players out there that are all cheap. You can only fit so many of them in. And it becomes a game of which ones do you pick, and then how do you judge those against having a lot of extra money to spend on the Matas and Hazards and Van Persies and Bales, assuming Bale sticks around.
Neil Thomas.
Hey, what's up, Thomas?
How are you, man? Question. In your expert opinion, who is the most overrated choice by everyone who plays these fantasy leagues? We always have these conversations, you know, in the office going back and forth, you know, so I want an expert's opinion. Who's the most overrated?
Sure. In fantasy situations, and the trap that most people fall into is, you know, a player who is exceptional on the field, but just doesn't do the things that register in the fantasy ledger. For years, Paul Scholes was that guy. I don't think any of us would question that he's a great player, but he just didn't make the grade in fantasy. And I remember, 10 or 15 years ago when I started playing Premier League fantasy, I kept picking him and kept getting nothing out of it. Yeah. Wondering what the hell.
I kind of felt that way with Jack Wilshere last year.
Yeah. Well, Wilshere was a little bit, hard to know what to blame that on at this point. But yeah, a lot of those kind of box-to-box midfielders who have a lot of energy and pass the ball a lot, but maybe are the guy before the guy. Mm-hmm. So don't get the assist, but if we were playing hockey, they'd get a second assist or something like that. Those are the types of guys that often don't look as good as their real world performance. Holding midfielders, center backs, those are the kind of guys that are the spine of a real team, but just, the way fantasy games have been designed, it just doesn't show up quite that well.
Neil Thurman of rotoworld.com is joining us here on European Football Weekly. Follow the show on Twitter at EFWSN590. Neil, we talked about players coming into the Premier League that get undervalued. Who are your value picks for, let's say, week one?
Let's see. I haven't gone through and written the full first column yet, but it's trying to figure out who's gonna make it back unscathed from their internationals, or who's gonna escape having to play. We already talked about Benteke from Aston Villa a little bit, and Lukaku. Just similarly, if it looks like he's gonna start two games, he's priced to move as well. If he's leading the line at Chelsea, man, he was a beast last year at West Brom and looks set to do it again. Soldado looked fantastic in his debut for Spurs over the weekend, and he's got a nice easy matchup to start off their season as well. So I'd be looking to him as well.
Let's take Gareth Bale and Luis Suarez out of the conversation. I think they both might be out of the Premier League by the time September comes. But who would be your prediction to be the best fantasy player, the number one fantasy player this year?
I mean, you got to look at Van Persie yet again. It pains me as an Arsenal supporter to say it, but yet again, he's going to be a challenge at, putting 30 in the net, and I don't see any single player who's going to challenge that. We'll see, but if I had to bet right now on who was going to have the most goals and the most fantasy points at the end of the season, he'd be the guy by far.
Is Arsenal going to sign anybody?
That's a very interesting answer there.
Yeah, no, it's okay. But you raised a great point that you are an Arsenal fan. And our lovely Gord Brunt here is also an Arsenal fan. We've spent many a time.
I feel your pain, Gord.
Yeah. we spent a lot of time on have Arsenal spent any money yet .com, and it still says no. But do you think they will bring in anybody?
I like the Luis Gustavo rumor a lot. Watching in the preseason, the issue that I'm concerned about much more than do we have enough goals in the team is, can we stop anybody? And, what happens when inevitably either Mertesacker or Arteta or Koscielny gets hurt, and right now there's just nothing behind them. Vermaelen's out, and there's nobody else who even closely resembles a good deputy there. So somebody you can deputize both as a holding midfielder and as a center back is definitely what I was looking for. And to hear that that's at least in the realm of possibility makes me much happier than the slight chance that Suarez might be on his way in. I've got to say, and I wrote about this on the plane on the way out here this morning, which is, you know, watching the combination of Walcott and Giroud, who both seem to have taken a step forward, and even Ramsey, who is doing things that he just found ways to mess up last year, you know, going around Joe Hart over the weekend and putting the ball in the net. He would have hit a post. He would have dribbled it straight into Joe Hart. He would have done something to mess up the good situations he got himself into last season. And he and Walcott and Giroud all seem to have clicked just that little bit that takes you from in good positions to converting good positions to great results. So I'm optimistic, at least, that there's some potential improvement there. I'm less optimistic about the back line and things holding together there. So if we see some reinforcements, I wouldn't mind that being the place.
I agree with you, Neil. I think the biggest problem with Arsenal is you've never had a proper center defensive midfielder. And there's never been that spine there. I mean, Arteta's a great player, but I don't think he's not like a big club player. I don't think he can do it.
Yeah, he's a poor man's version of like Fabregas or something like that for me as well.
Exactly. And I want to get Gord's opinion on this one. Is Aaron Ramsey the same type of player to Arsenal supporters as Lucas Leiva is to Liverpool supporters? And what I mean by that is I hated Lucas Leiva for the first 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then once he kind of just molded in and he just turned into a really good holding player, a great player. And now I love him. So do you have that same feeling with Ramsey?
I think with Aaron, it was more of the hype when we got him and just the failure to actually deliver. And like Neil was saying, the constant disappointment of he would have hit the post there. He probably would have knocked out a ball boy by just lashing the ball in the net, completely missing. But it was great to see the performances over the weekend. And I do think he is turning a corner, barring any injuries. I heard he picked up a little knock on his ankle or something like that. But a healthy Aaron Ramsey this year, I'm probably expecting big things.
Yeah, I'm curious to get Gord's opinion on Jack Wilshere. I mean, everything is he's the second coming of something. And
when did this become an Arsenal podcast? Wait a second.
I like the way this is going. Let's continue, Neil.
So I'm curious. I mean, he seems to have a lot of potential, and he has that very English quality of being very pugnacious, being kind of that bulldog in midfield. But all of the spectacular skill that's going to keep England up with Spain and the other kind of much more sophisticated passing attacks around Europe, I gotta say, I'm not seeing it yet.
Yeah.
I'm curious your opinion.
Yeah, I think he's great at, you know, really going against the defense, really driving at them. He's got no fear in that sense, but he does seem like he's got a little bit more maturing to go. If you're going to expect him to score goals, good luck with that. He's maybe scored 2 goals in the last 2 seasons. I know he's been off with a lot of injuries, but he's not really a goal scorer in that sense. But I think for England, he's more of that playmaker, but I don't know if he's really going to get them over the hump, you know, to be like the Cesc Fabregas in Spain. I don't think he's really going to get up to that quality, but I'd sure love to see it.
I think with Arsenal, the problem is that they have too many players in a central attacking midfielder position, and they're forced to play Wilshere in a more holding role, and he's not as good in that role. And he kind of just ends up being that, you know, ball-winning midfielder, but and it's lessening his impact on the field, in my opinion.
And I also think the fearlessness might cost him again, and that's probably what's gotten him injured so many times over his career. But I don't know. What do you think about the fearlessness of Jack and just diving into these challenges?
I completely agree. I think it's that one characteristic that kind of English soccer tradition values more than anybody else in the world values it, and I see why. Culturally, it is exciting, you know, traditional English mud on the uniform kind of no holds barred player gets people excited, but I don't think that's how you win win games anymore. And so it'll be interesting to see if he can develop the skill and the passing and know when to charge in and be aggressive and harness that versus how to be a little more intellectual, if you will, about his game.
All right. You can find his writing on rotoworld.com. He is Neil Thurman. Where can we find you on Twitter, Neil?
Neil J. Thurman. And you can find that on RotoWorld, plastered all over the place, I'm sure.
All right, and check it out. They'll keep you up to date on all things fantasy footy as we go through the season here. And, they'll help you figure out who to start, who to sit at each and every week on fantasy footy. So thanks again, Neil.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure.
And we thank Neil Thurman of RotoWorld.com one more time as we move on here. Still a lot to get to. Here on European Football Weekly, the Barclays Premier League preview edition of the show. We went through the top seven, and now we will kind of move our way through and kind of group squads together. Mid-table sides, finishing 8th, 9th, and 10th last year were West Brom, Swansea, and West Ham. Shockingly, Nicholas Anelka has been scoring goals by the bucket in preseason for West Brom. And yes, Nicholas Anelka is back in the EPL with his 6th team.
But hasn't he played for West Brom already?
No.
No? Is that one of the...
Bolton.
Okay.
Bolton. Fulham? Did he play for Fulham? Maybe.
No,
I can't remember.
No.
There was just... he's a suitcase. What do you want? He played for... I think he played 20 minutes for Juventus last year. It's like they just signed him so they could get him in a Champions League and he could set the record.
The question is did he play more than Nicholas Bentner?
Yes. No, he didn't actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The greatest striker to ever put on a pair of boots? Nicholas Bentner.
Yeah, and get DUIs in Denmark. And
the man who walks out of strip clubs with his pants at his ankles, scores 11 out of 10 on ego
and,
tests.
Post pictures on Twitter of how happy he was to win a title with Juventus.
Let's not forget, didn't he pull his pants down in the World Cup too, and he got in trouble for that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, Nicholas Bentner. But he'll be with Arsenal this year.
Go away!
Against Portugal, the only team he actually does act like a world-class striker against. Unfreaking believable.
But Birmingham. Okay, let's get back on track here, boys. Come on. West Brom, Swansea, West Ham. West Brom even went out today and they got Matez Vidra from Udinese on loan from Udinese. He was with Watford last year, scored 20 goals in the championship. So a little bit of a track record there, but he's still a young player. And as I said, they're going to have a hard time filling what Lukaku did last year. For them. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see. Swansea's made a lot of interesting moves on the transfer market. Wilfred Bony, we heard Neil talk about him, and Michu. There's a lot of questions of whether or not he can continue his success from last year.
Well, he's not going to be the number one striker.
Exactly.
Anymore,
it's going to be Bony now. I can't get used to saying that name. I don't know why.
You'll get used
Bony,
to it.
Bony?
Bony. I just feel like I'm doing something wrong. I have such a mind in the gutter. But they brought in a lot of players, and Michael Laudrup is one of the most promising managers in the world, it seems. So I think maybe they're the best out of those three teams to maybe make a jump into a Europa League qualification spot. I don't think Swansea can really hope for much more, although they're already in Europa League this year because they won the Capital One Cup. Your thoughts on these three teams, guys? Thomas, we'll start with you.
I'm going with Swansea. I really think they had a good system, and Laudrup did a great job last year, and they've strengthened in practically every category. I mean, one guy that you might not know of is Jordi Amat. Great defender, lots of promise. Be on the lookout for him. I mean, he's not going to get you any fantasy points or anything, but he's definitely going to do it on the field. And Jonathan de Guzman signing there. Keeping him, that's huge too. I mean,
it's another loan deal, but, you know, Swansea's still working on a budget.
An extra year there, why not? I mean, but I do think, and I was saying it before, I do think Michu's going to have a drop-off.
Yeah.
I really think. Last year, he was just played so well that it's hard to live up to that again.
I think there's going to be a different dimension to Michu's game. And if, you know, the Bony thing doesn't work out, you know, they've always got Michu to fall back on. Also, you know, any team that brings in Lord Voldemort has to be the favorite of those three.
Yes, Jonjo Shelvey is now a member of Swansea. Gord, let's maybe get some thoughts on West Ham United from you. I mean, Andy Carroll making his move official there. They haven't really done much else, though, and I don't think this is a top 10 team with the improvements of Norwich and Southampton. I really don't think this is a top 10 team at West Ham United this year.
Yeah, assuming Andy Carroll can stay healthy for a full season.
For such a big guy, boy, does he get injured a lot. Yeah, a lot of weird injuries.
And he looks like he's not really scrawny or anything. He looks like he has some muscle on him, but why does he keep falling apart? And when you have Kevin Nolan as your leading goal scorer, you're really not going to finish higher than middle of the table. And that's even lucky in my mind. I think they got lucky last year. I don't think they're even going to finish close to what they did last season. Just back to Swansea, though, I think they are going to improve. I think they're going to finish ahead of Liverpool. Sorry,
Tom. Whoa!
I only think that...
Those are fighting words, I have to say.
As long as they don't win the Capital One Cup and stop trying afterwards for the last, like, 8 games of the season.
I need a fight bell here or something.
No, I just think that...
Strong words.
Them winning that Capital One Cup really...
They cashed it in after the last year. But you know what, though, Gord? I do agree with you. I think that they have joined the conversation with Everton and Liverpool. I think those are, like, the next 3 behind, the big 6.
Watch out for
6.
Wales, man. Wales definitely.
As much as I'm a Liverpool fan, whatever... Swansea's going to be a great team this year, and but they're not going to finish ahead of Liverpool.
Now that's a bet.
Plain and simple. Plain and simple. They're not finishing
ahead
of Liverpool.
More on West Ham. I don't like, the way Sam Allardyce, plays football that much myself, but with Andy Carroll, it is effective. And, he does get a lot out of Kevin Nolan too, right? I mean, the fact that he's gotten all those goals, it's pretty impressive. But you know what you're going to get from Sam. It's going to be a tough team to beat. He's going to, kill you in the air with Andy Carroll. And that's half the time. That's good enough for 10th in the Premier League because, as long as you can, keep balls out, play really well on set pieces, which is what Sam's known for, you get the same results. And he's pretty consistent at being in and around always that number 10 spot.
And don't forget the whole rumor of... Stuart Downing having a medical or...
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Something's going on there in that whole Downing-Carroll connection.
The Jesus of left wings, is Liverpool. It? Is it the Jesus of left wings? I saw someone...
Seriously?
I think someone tweeted that. I couldn't stop laughing. They had tweeted the first 11 of Liverpool, and I think they had the Jesus of left wing.
It's funny because that extra quid in the Suarez bid was for Stuart Downing. So,
I see. So that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So we're trying to get a 2-for-1 there.
We're going to, I like Gord's fighting words over there. Swansea's going to finish ahead of Liverpool. You should have said Everton as well. I mean, come on. Really? Just take a, if you would have went that far, it would have been interesting. But, okay. Now, some sides that I think should definitely be safe from relegation. We're looking at Norwich, Fulham, and Southampton. Fulham's actually done a lot of work, and Norwich has as well on the transfer market. But Southampton were maybe they've become my favorite team. I even in the EFW Fantasy Footy League, they ask you for your favorite team so you can join up and be in that division of a league as well. So I'm part of the Fans of Southampton League, just out of. If anybody really cares.
You're going to get your Adam Lallana jersey soon?
Yeah, maybe. Or Jay Rodriguez, Victor Wanyama.
What if Wigan didn't get relegated last season? Who would your favorite team have been then?
Latic Magic. I never really liked them. It was so much fun to see them try to dance out of relegation.
Don't fight
right?
the Magic.
But Fulham, they've actually done a little bit here on the fantasy, or not on the fantasy market. On the actual market, and they've brought in Martin Stekelenburg, who was at Roma and pretty good there. But they switch out Mark Schwarzer for him, and he's going to be in net. Martin Stekelenburg, Adel Tarapt. We've seen what he can do with QPR. Now, there was games where he kind of just dipped out, and you didn't even notice him. But he did have some brilliance in him every once in a while, right?
He did, but to be honest, I think he's overrated. I think he's one of those players that it's like, I feel like playing today. I don't feel like playing today. And why do you want a player like that on your team?
Like Russian hockey players, right?
Perfect.
Yeah. for all you of our Canadian listeners, yeah. Norwich, though, this looks like a team that could maybe jump into the top 10. Ricky Van Wolfswinkel, as we've talked about. Leroy Fair, stolen away from Everton. That was a big signing there. Gary Hooper, right?
Huge.
Gord, you're the big Celtic guy, right? Well, not really the Celtic guy, but you watch Scottish Premier League. But Gary Hooper.
Clinical.
Yeah.
All the guy does is score goals, but can he do it in the much more competitive Premier League? That is a
big question, right?
Yeah, huge question.
I actually have a Gary Hooper Scunthorpe United jersey.
Nice.
What?
That's hardcore.
Scunthorpe
United. That's my lower league team. And Gary Hooper was their star striker. And before he went to Celtic, he was plugging them in League 2 and League 1.
I think he picked up a pretty bad injury over the weekend, though. They had x-rays to see if he broke his shin.
Did he? I didn't even hear it, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He might not be fit for the opening game.
Well, then they'll put all their eggs in the Ricky Van Wolfswinkel basket. And then there's Southampton. And we all became admirers of Maurizio Pochettino and his way of playing. Victor Wanyama, maybe not needed given the success of Morgan Schneiderlin in that holding midfield role, but still, nonetheless, a very interesting player. And then there's Dejan Lovren, also who they brought in. They never really got the big-name striker that they wanted to, but if Ricky Lambert scores like he did last year, they may not need it. Derek, you've been kind of quiet for the last couple minutes, so thoughts on Southampton?
It was a great signing, Wanyama.
Yeah.
That's a... Schneiderlin's great and everything, but Wanyama, I think, is world class, and that's what you need to challenge for, you know, bigger and better things. And I didn't think they were going to get him because apparently he said no at the beginning. But you know, that just goes to show you, I guess Mauricio Pochettino's got some pull with some players. He does play incredibly, you know, entertaining soccer. I mean, the way they press up front, and Ricky Lambert, I think, has, you know, is just going to continue doing what he's been doing. He's going to, you know, assert himself as England's number nine, I think. Prove that he should be the guy that's there. You know, again, I'm going to say Emil Heskey just for effect because, you know, he continued to get opportunities for England. So Ricky Lambert is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, and I think they're maybe my surprise team of the year. I think they're a young team, obviously, and they can just get better without making too many additions to their squad. So now we'll go over to the relegation battlers, and there's quite a few of them there. Newcastle haven't really done a lot. I mean, recently they brought in Loic Remy on loan from QPR, but he couldn't help them from relegation last year, so who's to say he's going to help Newcastle? Right? No?
Oh,
maybe?
No, well, I agree, but I don't think they're going to get relegated, but I don't like that whole French vibe thing that's going on there. I mean it's just
they were so close much. Very, to being relegated.
It's too much. It's clicky too, you know, and it's but I don't think some, it's good for
but
the
they've got such they to me they're the biggest question mark because if they click,
yeah,
like, you know, if Remy continues to score,
they
if,
could all of a sudden show up top 10. Yeah, or they you, could battle
got,
for relegation.
They've got exactly. The talent, they've got exactly. The beaters, you know. Caballé is an incredible player. Ben Arfa, when he's on, can do magic.
Mapu-Yanga and Biwa, that's the name I forgot before, right?
And you know, your boy David Santon is, yeah, you know, asserting himself as probably Italy's best left back,
could be up there. Yeah,
so
doesn't have, well, he's got some to deal with, but he could definitely be their left back of the future. For
yeah,
sure.
But he's asserted himself as, you know, definitely a first stringer for Newcastle. So they've got lots of really, you know, intriguing puzzle pieces. But again, yeah, how are those pieces going to fit together? Is it going to be a jumbled mess like it was last year?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions for Newcastle.
Is it going to be a crepe gone all wrong?
Sunderland are a team that kind of remind me of QPR last season. They're spending like drunk sailors and buying a lot of players from all different walks of life. And I think it's up to like 8 or 9 players now that they've brought into Sunderland.
Ten.
And I mean, I don't know. It didn't work for QPR last year. And you got Paulo Di Canio. We still don't really know if he's an actually good tactician or if he's just getting everybody riled up.
He's great to watch, though.
Yeah,
and he's always good for a soundbite. Yeah. So
that's definitely for sure. Yeah, they spent a lot of money, and I just don't know if they can get it all to gel together. Jozy Altidore is is intriguing at the striker position. Emmanuel Jaccarini, he's, I don't know, he's not really, he's not a great player.
Sessegnon, he's quality.
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys there, but I don't know. They were dangerously close
Lecha,
and now to relegation last year.
Now they've got Vito Minone and Net. I mean, he didn't really prove himself while at Arsenal, so £1.5 million, let's see what he could do.
I'm interested to see Jaccarini, though, there.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Juve fan,
he's a workhorse.
Tell me what you think.
He's a workhorse. He's not as talented as some people might say he is. He's a workhorse. He's always, I mean, you're going to notice him every game because he's always working. And that is an admirable part, and I think that's what Paolo Di Canio wanted to bring into his team. But as far as technical ability goes, he's not going to win any skills competitions.
Is he a Di Canio type player, though?
Yes, he's definitely a Di Canio type player. Nice. So he will fit in that sense. But they're an interesting team. I think a lot of our followers actually on Twitter said they could be among the relegation teams. And then, you know, you've got Aston Villa, who you hope would be better this year, Cardiff, Crystal Palace, Hull City, Tigers. That is the most ridiculous thing. I got to get your guys' feelings on this. Why did Hull City add the name Tigers?
Because City is too common a name, and Hull must stand out, according to their Iranian, or is it Egyptian?
Egyptian.
Owner. Their Egyptian owner does not like
Hassam Alam or something like that his name is.
I'm not even going to attempt to guess at his name. But yeah, he claims that the city name is too common. You've got Manchester City. You've got Birmingham City.
Yeah.
And other cities that I can't see. Norwich City. It just goes on and on and on. It's just too common a name. So he decided to go and pick, you know, the jungle cat that everybody picks for their team name.
It has such a college vibe to it.
Yeah, it does.
It's so North American sports of him.
It's almost as if, you know, he wanted to make Michael Jackson statue in his front park or something.
Yeah.
You know, get some cheap publicity like that or something. Tigers. Yeah, it's
no, it's
rah,
not good.
It's soccer's not the rah-rah siskum ba type of game that
No, it's definitely not. Okay. So we're going to get it to our predictions in just a couple of minutes, but first we gotta do a little bit of a La Liga preview as well. What's
sure
there
we
to
got
preview?
Enough time, Dan.
So what's there to preview, really? Real Madrid or Barcelona? Who's it going to be this year, guys?
Hey, Atletico has done some pretty good business, too. I mean, you know, you sell Falcao and then you pick up David Villa for $5 million or something like that. That's some pretty shrewd business.
It's not going to make them score 120 goals.
No, but, okay, yeah.
But they only allowed 31 last year.
True. That's true. And, you know, Falcao is a huge thing to replace. How are you going to replace that, considering that for a good proportion of the beginning of the season, Atletico Madrid was right there with Barcelona and, you know, right behind them.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, even, you know, a La Liga supporter like me is going to, you know,
Thomas,
say,
who is the one man that could break up this duopoly in Spain?
No one.
It was your guy. Come on. Who? You know here.
Who? Oh, you're talking
Rafa Benitez,
oh,
right?
Rafa Benitez. I was
the last,
but that's even before.
I caught Thomas off guard. He was on his iPad looking at something real quick.
Wow.
And then
yeah,
I just totally caught him off guard.
I don't think Rafa could even compete with a Valencia now the way he did back then.
Valencia's a far cry from what they were.
It's a complete different game now. Yeah. The money, everything. It just, no one's going to break that up unless they change the sharing of TV.
Yeah. The spending power Barcelona and Madrid have literally dwarfs the other 18 teams. They alone, just those two teams, dwarf
exactly
the other 18 teams.
And that's why it's a duopoly there. And we've seen Neymar. Can he work with Messi? What do you think?
Yeah, the biggest interesting thing is the fact that the two teams have new managers. So, you know, it seems like it's going to be a calmer rivalry than, you know, previous seasons.
And Luka Modric looks like a different player under Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, he's he's being featured a lot more. Also, I kind of saw I should say
David Guetta.
I saw a projected mock 11 by Marca, and they didn't even have Xabi Alonso in the 11. So they had Ilaramendi, I think is the way you pronounce it.
Ilaramendi. There's another name I'm going to enjoy
Ronaldo playing as like a kind of a number 10, you know, backup striker in the middle with Isco on the wing and Ozil on the other, which I thought was kind of interesting because, you know, watching Ozil play on the wing was not fun at all.
Almost like they're opening up, they're putting Ronaldo in a different position and opening it up for Bale to come right in.
Yeah. It looks that way.
I don't know why you just wouldn't have Ozil in the middle, have Isco come in and out with him. You know, Di Maria and Bale on your other flank. Ronaldo, well, it would eventually just be Bale and Ronaldo on your other flank. And, you know, your double pivot of Khedira, Xabi Alonso, Yulera Mendy. I'm even forgetting other players, too, that they have. But you could have that. And then you have Jesse and Morata coming in. And, you know, Benzema is your focal point. That's a deadly team to
you
me.
You see the list that you just said right now? Like, all those players, amazing.
And exactly.
They have such a great balance of players, too.
I personally, I'm going to go with Real Madrid to beat Barcelona this year. They look like a much better team, and I really like what they've...
They seem more balanced than...
Yeah.
And Barcelona, I mean, they added Neymar, who's probably going to do some incredible things.
I don't think they can stop goals from going in the back of their net.
That's the thing,
though,
right?
Because they haven't added to the defense.
And no offense, when you're trying to steal Daniel Agger from Liverpool, like...
They're still trying to get David Luiz as well. So, pick one. Barcelona, Real Madrid. Thomas.
Real Madrid.
I have to say Real.
Barcelona.
All right. So 3-1. Gord is probably going to end up being right. But we're all being Real Madrid. And, we're all putting our Real Madrid hats on.
And a shout out to Helder Postiga, who's been brought in to replace Soldado. I know someone who's...
Yes, we had a long discussion about this.
A friend of ours is
going
to love to hear that.
The guy scores goals.
What more do you want? He overachieves. He's the classical overachiever. I don't want him as my national striker either, but...
Who cares?
Are you going to do? Who else is there?
He's not talented, but he scores.
He's got a better goal.
I mean, he's talented at scoring.
Than Wayne Rooney.
But he's just not. He just looks clumsy all the time. And
yes.
Yeah, it's one of those guys.
But he pokes them in.
All right, so we'll get to our predictions now. We got a couple of you with your predictions. Michael Sagrafena writes in, Chelsea to win, Man City, Man U, and Tottenham will round out the top four. Golden Boot goes to Luis Suarez if he stays in the EPL. And then we have Carl who writes in, City, Chelsea, Tottenham, and Man United. Golden Boot goes to RVP. And I think we talked about it. RVP might just end up winning the Golden Boot just because Manchester United may not have anybody else to score goals all that much.
And his competition might leave the country.
Yeah, exactly. In Wayne Rooney. So there's some of our... followers' opinions. At EFWSN590, you can send in your predictions whenever you like. Thomas, we'll start with you, and let's hear your top four, and maybe start with number four and lead down to your winner of the league.
All right, I'm going to go with my heart, and my heart says Liverpool. It just always says Liverpool, but I know that's not going to happen, so I'm going to go with Arsenal in four. They're always going to be there. I think Wenger's is not going to go out.
Going to figure it out.
Yeah, he's going to figure it out. Then I'm going Manchester United at three.
Wow.
Manchester City at two, and Chelsea and Mourinho to win it all.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, Derek.
I want to have like a caveat here. If Bale stays, I'm going to make the big prediction that Tottenham actually wins the Premier League.
Wow.
Chelsea second.
There's your bold prediction.
Manchester City third, and United fourth. Arsenal sixth. Because, you know, Everton will finish fifth.
Right.
If Bale doesn't stay, then it's going to be Chelsea, Manchester City, Man United. And it's still a toss-up between Arsenal and Tottenham for me on that one.
As of today, August 12th, Tottenham's going to finish fourth.
Wow. Okay.
Arsenal will not be in the top four.
Wow, coming from the Arsenal man himself.
Fenger
outside
will get sacked.
The top four.
Oh, sorry, I'm just going on Arsenal predictions.
Fenger will be sacked.
United third, same as Thomas, actually. City second, Chelsea the winners.
Wow, okay, so we got a bunch of Chelsea lovers over here. I'm not going to go with Chelsea as the winner. I think even as Tottenham is currently constructed, even without Bale, they will finish in fourth. I don't think Bale will be there come September, but Tottenham, the Bale-less Tottenham Hotspurs in number four, Manchester United at number three, Chelsea at number two, and Manchester City at number one. They are going to be incredible this year, I think, and I love what they've brought in attack. There's just so much there for them. They can score literally from anywhere. Fernandinho and Yaya Toure, David Silva, Jovetic, Navas, Aguero, Dzeko. I mean, they've got goals coming out of their ears, and they still have, in my opinion, the best defender in the English Premier League in Vincent Kompany.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like Manchester City to win it this year, hands down. For me, that is how it is going to go. But maybe your goal scorer, who's going to win the Golden Boot, Thomas?
Well, everyone's forgetting about Sergio Aguero. Yeah. Sergio Aguero was injured last year. He's going to have a great year this year. He has a lot of service. He's going to play up front, and he's going to win the Golden Boot.
Yeah. Derek?
If Bale stays, I'm going to say Bale. If he,
how, a midfielder to win?
If he doesn't, then I have to say Robin Van Persie.
I have to agree with our friend Neil Thurman and go with they hated RVP.
Yeah, he's just...
too good.
He is too good. I think I would pick Aguero, but I just think there's too many guys there.
Options.
Yeah, there's too many options. There's just going to be too many other guys scoring goals. Although, by all accounts, Manchester City will score a bucket load of goals. I'd want to do something different, but I think it's going to be RVP for the second straight year. He's got goals beyond goals, unless he gets injured.
Yeah. Injury.
For the first time.
That's only when he's at Arsenal,
that would be
though.
Gord's, you know, that would be a wet dream for Gord.
Been waiting for a year for that one.
On to the relegation zone. Who will get relegated? We've talked a little bit about some of the Sunderland and Newcastle, but will it be the promoted teams? Because they look like they haven't done much. Palace and Cardiff haven't done all that much. But what do you think, Thomas?
Coming in at number 20, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
19, Hull City.
And Tigers. Don't forget to say Tigers.
I'm sorry. Hull City Tigers.
You know, their owner might sue you if he hears this podcast.
You know what? I refuse to call them the Tigers.
That bloke didn't say Tigers. I changed the name to Tigers. Although he's Egyptian, so he wouldn't talk like that.
Let's pretend he talks like that. It's much funnier that way.
Exactly.
And I'm going with the final team that's going to get relegated. He's a championship manager. I've always said it. Mark Hughes, Stoke City.
Wow.
Nice. I will start from the bottom as well and go with Crystal Palace, Hull City.
Tigers.
And Hull City Tigers. Screwed up again. And Sunderland.
Oh, Paolo Di Canio. Yeah. Can you imagine Paolo Di Canio's end of the season, if he lasts that long, end of the season like report as Sunderland just gets relegated? Oh, it would probably be epic.
Like, I kind of don't want him out of the Premier League, but just to hear that,
yeah,
it's kind of worth it.
It might be worth it. His end of season discussion after being relegated.
I agree with Gordon. I think Sunderland is.
Wow. A lot of our followers actually said Sunderland as well.
Headed for relegation. I wouldn't be surprised if Stoke headed there. I don't want to say Crystal Palace because I love Ian Holloway.
Yeah, me too. Oh. But they didn't really do anything.
No,
they don't have any depth.
I know. Cardiff City's actually done some nice stuff. Yeah. But, Cardiff is kind of looking at it. And, yeah, the Tigers, for sure. They deserve to be out of the league just for the stupid.
League two.
League two. I'll go with Palace and Hull City. So, the Hull City Tigers, I should say. Definitely getting the relegation. And, you know what? I don't want to see Paolo Di Canio, so I'm going to say Stoke City. I've always disliked Mark Hughes as well. Although he's done well with smaller teams, I still think he's definitely... not headed in the right direction with this Stoke team, who've always punched above their weight under Tony Pulis, I thought. And I think it's time for Stoke City to go down, maybe learn a different style of football other than beat your brains in.
I also want, it's a little personal too, because, you know, he tried to get Nelson Oliveira.
Oh, yeah,
and
really?
And that kind of went sour because, you know, Oliveira went to Rennes and then he kind of had some choice words because, you know, apparently... You know, he thinks that he's got quality or he's given people a reason to believe in him. But that's Steve Bruce's world.
All right.
Or Mark Hughes's world. Sorry.
Quickly, a bold prediction. We already heard Derek, so I'm not going to ask you for another one. You said the Tottenham Hotspur.
Bring it. I can do them all day long.
Would win the league if they kept Gareth Bale. Thomas, do you have a bold prediction for this year?
Luis Suarez stays at Liverpool.
That sounds hopeful.
That's more than anything else.
But still a bold prediction, okay? Because at this point, he seems definitely like he will leave Liverpool. Gord.
Arsenal sign Luis Suarez.
Oh, no, sound, no, another not, one that's not hopeful.
I'm just kidding. I'm just
Look,
kidding.
I didn't Swansea, ask you for something that would never happen in any
Swansea
universe.
Swansea finishing sixth.
Swansea finishing sixth.
That's a good
sixth.
One.
Derek?
Southampton gets into Europa League next year.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa. Put
I'm
money
gonna,
on that.
You know what? I'm going to say Everton finishes fifth. No? Wow, crickets.
Not crickets. Good enough.
I question if they can do as well as they did last year, but I think Roberto Martinez puts them on a different level. I really like the way he manages, and he's going to make them more exciting, if nothing else. And so
that
I'm hopeful
true.
For a fifth place finish for the Toffees. And Derek, you can wax lyrical about me. For
but didn't I say that when didn't I claim that? Oh no, I
you said no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I said
yeah, you did.
I said Everton fifth and Arsenal sixth.
Okay, so you've made several. Bold
Stop,
predictions
don't
on
piggyback
this,
on me,
this
Dan.
Podcast. Okay, Thomas, I want to thank you so much for being with us. It was a very long podcast, but hey, it was a Barclays Premier League preview podcast. Thanks. We hope to have you again soon. This has been fun.
I'm here, man. It was fun. Fun chatting with you guys.
Yeah. We hope all of our listeners enjoyed it. Remember to follow us on Twitter at EFWSN590. You can follow Thomas.
At UnfitRef.
At UnfitRef. I'm at DanRicho590. Gord at GordBrun590. Derek.
DRK brand SN590.
He makes it very difficult on you all. Remember,
by spelling it out, yes.
Go out to at EFWSN590. Find out how to join EFW Fantasy Footy. That's where all the info is. We'll be hoping to see you in the league. We've got more than 50. Who knows? Maybe we can even get it up to 100. There is no limit. So keep joining, keep signing up. We'll be there, and maybe you can beat us, maybe not. I think you probably will. Either way, it'll be a lot of fun to talk about throughout the season. Thank you again to Thomas, and thank you to Neil Thurman. This has been the Barclays Premier League Preview on European Football Weekly.